Goldman Entertainment, Kong and Dung Dot New Vietnam.
Hi. Hello. Welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 173. I'm your host, Vince. Hello. Hi. Hope you're doing well. I'm here again, myself. Hi. Kyle's here too. But Kyle's doing the producer role. You want to say hi, Papa?
Background Kyle here.
Background Kyle, we have to actually like sit down and have a talk about what your name is now. Because I don't know what the hell you are anymore.
I'm just, what's his name from Psychonauts, where the multiple jobs?
Crawler,
yeah.
You just pop out of my ear to say mm-hmm. something quick and then come back.
True, yeah, there you go. You waste some food in front of me.
What's your food that I summon you with?
Pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, Kyle's here. hi, everyone. Episode 173. I think I've already said that. Happy Halloween. This episode comes out the day before Halloween, the 30th. If you're in the States, I don't know if other states do, or other countries, I should say, do Halloween like we do. I know Japan does. When I was supposed to go to Japan, someone I was talking to that lived there told me that, like, Japanese Halloween is wild. And not just because, like, oh, the candy's better, or the X or the Y is good. I just noticed my desktop is on and the screen just died, so it's a blue screen right now. So if you see a blue tint on me for a little bit, I apologize. I'd get up and change it, but that requires work. So when I was going to go to Japan, the guy was telling me that, because I think I was supposed to land about now when I was going to go, the end of because I think I was going to fly back November 18th or 19th, somewhere around there. He told me that it's like wild, and from what I understand, like, Pokemon goes all out, and that was a big reason why I wanted to go, was to go to the various different Pokemon centers. There's like Pokemon stuff that you can only get in Japan that like sells for stupid amounts of money here in the States. There's like a Gengar candy bowl haunted house thing that I saw. Actually, Cinemassacre, the dude Justin, he's part of their podcast, the Angry Video Game Nerd, his like whole crew, the one guy, he like only collects Gengar stuff. So I know he did a Gengar collection video where he was talking about this bowl that I'm telling you about. Anyway, happy Halloween. if you're one for candy and whatnot and dressing up, actually join the Discord, because this will be out if you listen to this day of, even if you don't listen to this day of, join the Discord. Link in the description of the Discord below. Join the Discord. Let me see what you dressed up as. I was thinking about, normally what I do, it's a super, super cop-out, but I keep it here on the Fallout shelf. For those who are watching, I have this MF Doom mask ring, and normally on Halloween I just throw this on, and someone will be like, oh, it's Halloween, you couldn't dress up, and I'd be like, no, I'm wearing a mask, and when they say, what are you wearing, I just show them my ring. It's a cop-out. It's shitty, I know, but, you know. So, yeah, happy Halloween. Hope you're doing well. There's some things I want to talk about before we get into the episode. Some fun. Just want to start off with this. I did stream. I know there were some conflicting things that I've said. It said I was streaming, I wasn't streaming. I'm streaming. I want to do it at least every weekend. Saturday or Sunday, I'm not sure which day. But I'm having a little bit of a shindig for Halloween. Since I'm in my new place, you know, I thought, why not welcome and warm myself and the walls to me and my ilk by having a little thing. So I'm going to make some falafel, some quiche, can't go wrong with a quiche, some hummus, and have some people over, have a drink, hang out, probably watch The Thing or something spooky if I could find it on a streaming service. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to be streaming on the 30th. I think I will be streaming on the 31st. I am streaming Fallout 3. I want to beat Fallout 3. I do know what I want to play after I'm done streaming Fallout 3. I really want to do a New Vegas full pacifist run, where I just talk my way out of everything and see if I can go the entire game without killing anyone or anything. A lot of like stealth, I think, is going to be involved. A lot of charisma. And those are my favorite builds. But come join me. I think the next time I'm going to do my favorite funny mustache woman. I'm going to do her whole quest line and help her out with the survival guide. Because I was playing and just, I got super overwhelmed and like excited at the same time. And I wanted to do everything. And I just wanted to see the map again. I just wanted to walk around. And then I like hit a point where these super mutants were trying to mess me up. And I was like, I need to circumvent this and go back. So I wound up going back to Megaton and whatnot. Also, speaking of streaming and cameras and microphones and whatnot, I kind of have everything in a new setup recording-wise. So now I have the camera that I use on a tripod and the microphone in front of me, but kind of at a different location. And now my laptop is to the side of me. So you might see me check back and forth. And if you're watching, if you're listening, this means nothing and I apologize. But come check it out. Come hang out. It's always fun when we do something like that. There's a lot of fun stuff I want to talk about, so I want to get the disgusting thing out of the way quick. I don't know how much of you guys use the Tick and the Talk, but there's a guy on TikTok who would dress up and act like Skyrim or Elder Scrolls NPCs, and he killed his wife and her friend. So this guy, I'm going to read the article. I have the article in front of me, but I'm going to read it. And I've seen the Vine, the TikToks. Hey, Kyle, could you pop in quick?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Is it in bad taste, personal opinion, is it in bad taste if I play one of this dude's videos?
I don't think so. I think if you're reporting on it.
If I'm talking about show, just for context.
A clip, yeah.
You try mercenary work, might suit you.
Hey! Watch it!
Something going on?
Need something? Need something? Something there. You can't hide from me. Get out. Must have been the wind. Need something?
So, somebody sent me this news, or it's actually from a Facebook page called Todd Howard's Head Poorly Photoshopped on Things, and it just says Skyrim NPC guy kills wife. And I don't know what this is taken from, but it's written by Dylan Davis, Dominic Candelieri, Misha DeBono, and Nexar. It's Nexar Media Wire, so that, sorry, I don't know. This guy's name is Ali Nasser, A-B-U-L-A-B-A-N, Alaban, Alabaster, I don't, does anybody know what that's from? Does anybody, Alabaster, I don't know what that's from, but it's like stuck in my, okay, anyway. San Diego, authorities Monday released the name of a man accused of fatally shooting his wife and her companion in a San Diego high-rise apartment building. Paramedics pronounced Anna Abluban, 28, and Rayburn Barron, age 29, dead at the scene, according to Lieutenant Andrea Brown. So according to this, the wife's like boyfriend was called a companion. A short while after the shooting, officers located Ali traveling in a vehicle with his 5-year-old daughter on the highway. He was detained without incident, and later arrested and charged in the murders of his wife, this companion Baron. The child was not with her father at the time of the shooting, according to the police. So this dude made like some decent TikToks about Elder Scrolls. And then he shot his wife. Like, I was having a conversation recently with someone at work saying, do you believe that people are bad people or do you believe people are good people? And part of me was like, dude, I don't know. I just kind of think that people are people and then things happen. Kyle, do you think this is a bad human or do you think this is like, do you think this is like an inherently bad human?
Yes. I also have some more information that he was estranged from his wife and he was living in a motel.
Oh, this I did not know.
Supposedly, he also installed an app onto his daughter's iPad so he can listen in on activity at home.
Oh, which okay, then, this is a bad dude then. Yeah.
I think he left, trashed it, and then came back with a gun.
Oh, okay, Kyle, you have way more information than I do. Yeah, this is a bad dude.
Yeah, he killed her and her friend, I believe.
Oh, wow. Because I just thought this was, like, the dude... I thought it was, like a crime of passion. You know what I mean? Like, there's no more details. That's the article I was sent. I didn't think I was going to talk about it this much. You know what I'm saying?
He picked his daughter up from school and told her that he had hurt mommy. So, bad dude.
What?
Bad dude.
What? This dude's a monster.
Bad dude.
This dude's a monster. Oh, shit. Okay.
Well, he also admitted to his crimes. He called the police, but bad dude.
Oh, he called the police.
Yeah.
Okay, go this guy.
I wouldn't make a joke, but I think it's in poor taste. Dude,
you already said it. Come on.
I guess his companion then wasn't able to hold all those dragon bones.
I'm happy you said it because I was trying to think of one and I couldn't get it.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the fun stuff. So, I don't know about everybody at home, but show of hands. Who likes Smash Brothers? You? You too? All the way in the back? What's that? I know it's Sora. Don't worry. There's another game coming out in
Kyle
6 years.
Production Post is going to ask Vince to put a fake hand being raised for me.
Oh, come on. Don't do this to me. All right, so... I don't know if anybody at home has played the Nickelodeon All-Stars Smash-a-Rooney, whatever it's called. I watched a stream of Jabroni Mike and Rev Scarecrow play it, and they're like shitting on it for 3 hours. And then like at the end, they both got good, and it's like really fun to watch. But Warner Brothers recently announced that they're making their own Smash clone. There were some rumors that Kyle had sent me that it was going to be like... The game was free, but then you had to buy all the characters DLC style the way Killer Instinct did it on the Xbox.
It also, the reports, it looked like trash. Like, it looked cheap. and LeBron James would be considered a DLC character. So,
dude, I want to get good with LeBron.
For that.
So, the roster that has been leaked is a new character, Steven Universe, Batman, Harley Quinn, Jake and Finn, Shaggy, Superman, Wonder Woman, Gandalf the Gray or the White, I'm not sure, I'm not a Lord of the Rings person, Rick from, it says Rick and Morty, but it just shows Rick, Bugs Bunny, and then Tom and Jerry. I don't know, guys. I thought the Nickelodeon game wasn't going to be very good, and then I watched it, and it looks okay. I'm probably, honestly, not going to buy it, but it looks like if I had it and I was at a party and someone's like, yo, you want to throw down a SpongeBob? I'd be like, yeah, of course I do. But, like, I don't know. I think the idea of, like, a Warner Brothers Smash could be a lot of fun. I kind of like this idea that everybody has their own Smash right now, because maybe that'll say to Nintendo, like, hey, people want to see other properties that aren't Square or Nintendo or Capcom in these games. Like, we want to see more. Like, imagine being able to play as Mad Max. Just like, think how cool that would be. I think that'd be so much
that
fun.
That was a rumored character as well.
Dude, imagine Austin Powers. Dude, King Kong.
King Kong, like, would probably be one, an Iron Giant. It might be good, but it's also, this is like a big WB, like, hey, we made Space Jam 2. We have all these characters showed up. Let's make a game.
Did you see Space Jam 2?
I did, yes.
Doesn't, like, Alex DeLarge and his droogies from the Clockwork Orange show
yeah,
up.
Yeah, there's like that. The Game of Thrones characters, like Beetlejuice shows up in one spot. Like, but they're not actually the character. They're just background people that look like they're wearing Halloween costumes.
No, but still, like, have you seen Clockwork Orange?
I have not, no.
Oh, dude, it's probably my favorite Kubrick, but like. Like, he goes to jail because he sexually assaults a woman to death. The main character, who actually is the dude who voices John Henry Eden in Fallout 3. Yeah. I want to see this game. This is a game I would genuinely consider picking up.
I mean, if it's free, you know.
Oh, yeah, but that's the thing, I don't want to spend money, so hopefully they give you, like, six good characters. Like, hopefully it's like, here's Batman, here's Rick, here's Bugs. Dude, imagine beating the shit out of Scooby. Or, sorry, beating the shit out of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo as Rick Sanchez.
Yeah.
Imagine Rick Sanchez fighting Batman and winning. But, like, something like this opens up a lot of possibilities for even fun costumes. Like, correct, alternate yeah. skins and stuff. So, like, I don't know. I'm super into this idea. I hope we kind of get this for everybody. Like, everybody has their own Smash. Like, I hope this is the next big trend.
I mean, we had Nintendo. We had PlayStation.
Ooh, I forgot about PlayStation.
PlayStation All-Stars.
Yeah.
We have a Nickelodeon one. Now we just need, like, an Xbox one. We need a Cartoon Network one.
I was going to say, how good would a car... Who... Okay, I know... This is a total tangent, and I didn't think about this, but what do you think for the Cartoon Network fighter game, 10 fighters that have to be in it?
10 fighters, okay. I'm thinking, oh, God.
You pick five, I'll pick five.
All right, five?
Yeah. Okay. In the mech suit or not in the mech suit?
Well, maybe if they ever do, like, ult, I can see them, like, being in the mech suit.
Okay, and ult. Okay, that's one.
Powerpuff Girls.
Ah, all three of them, or is it like a Pokemon trainer
thing? Okay. Maybe like it'll be like the same, but like different color schemes. Maybe something like that.
No, I'm saying Pokemon trainer. How you can switch?
Yeah. That or okay. like they do like it's a different color costume.
Okay.
Samurai Jack.
Absolutely.
I think they will pick like a somebody in the past, maybe like Space Ghost. Either.
I would go so hard with Space Ghost.
Like they usually have like these are, you know, your modern everybody knows them, yeah. And then here's a Cinnamon Toast Man, like, you know, like the obscure.
Yeah.
No one really knows that.
Space Ghost is dude, imagine Space Ghost's final, like, smash is just him sitting at the desk and, like, trying to ask the person who he's fighting questions. And then all of a sudden Zorak chimes in and then he just blasts him with his arm cannon. Oh, God.
What are yours?
You got one more. That was four.
Oh, one more?
Yeah, one more.
I'm trying to think. I'm getting Nickelodeon characters mixed up. Oh, boy. My mind's coming to Courage.
I could see Courage working. I could. I think. My five?
Yep.
Johnny Bravo.
Oh, good.
Come on. Johnny Bravo's going to be, like, throwing elbows and, like, jumping on people. I think the kids next door need to be there in some capacity.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Even if it's just, like, number one and number three. Or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, even if it's two separate characters, I think the kids next door need to be there. I think we need more newer characters because we're talking about the stuff we grew up with. I would like to see Mordecai or Rigby.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel like there was a Cartoon Network fighting game.
There's been Cartoon Network fighting games, but I'm saying like one that really feels like a Smash game, like the way Nickelodeon did it. I'm trying to think of the newer stuff. Because, like, Steven Universe is there, and I think of that, but, like, well, dude, consider Gumball, I think Gumball would be fun.
WB, you know, has those guys. I don't think they'll be...
Yeah, well, maybe we're kind of making a game that doesn't need to exist, because I was going to say something from, like, Young Justice or Teen Titans.
I see that, yeah.
Because I feel like that has to be included. personally, and you know, you weren't there. I had a friend. I used to work with this kid that for some reason, like once a week, we would talk about Ben 10, like unironically. And I never grew up watching it, but it was just there. I just had one. Who did I just think of? I want to see more than anything, and I think you know what I'm about to say, Kyle, but Robot Jones. I don't know how Robot Jones would work, but I just loved that show, and I think that'd be a lot of fun. I think Disney needs one, too. I think Disney could be a lot of fun. Because imagine having Hannah Montana fight, like... oh, God, what was it? What was that show? It was a Disney Channel animated show that it was the bears that flew around in planes.
Tailspin?
Tailspin. Imagine having, like, some of the Tailspin characters. Dude, Darkwing Duck as a fighter. You know what I mean? Like, have, like, the classic animated stuff. Have some of the new stuff. I don't even know if they have animation on Disney anymore. But, like, if that came out and I genuinely was like, I'm going to buy this, I would main Hannah Montana. Like, I'd get good at Hannah Montana. Like, nobody's going to stop me. Like, how come the Nickelodeon fighter doesn't have iCarly? Like, I know why it doesn't have iCarly, but think how much fun that would be. All right. We have to get out of this. I'm having too much fun.
Yes, yes.
All right. So, Rockstar. I talked about this before. I'm very excited for the Definitive Edition, the Definitive Trilogy Edition, what have you. This remake, remaster, rebuild, John, of the Grand Theft Autos looks amazing. It looks really, really good. There's some issues I have with it so far, but I want to talk about the good stuff. I see a lot of people complaining about how the game looks, and yes, it kind of looks janky. Like when you see the train move, it looks like it's moving on the same directions as like a N64 analog stick. I know someone's going to understand what that means. But, like, I like the stylization, and I really think GTA 3 looks the best with the stylization of the modern graphics and the classic look. I don't like Vice City as much, which I've said. Tommy Vercetti kind of just looks chunky. Like, he just looks a little heavy. Like, that's really it. CJ, my boy, looks fine. I can't wait to follow the train again. I can't wait to follow the train and just be able to end the mission quick because I can aim all around. I'm very excited for this. The only complaints I have so far is it seems like Rockstar is being a bit performative in what they're censoring for modern audiences. I don't remember the character's name, but he is in Vice City. He has a Confederate flag on his shirt. And I get the Confederate flag is bad. We shouldn't have... Personal opinion time, everybody. We shouldn't have Confederate statues and we shouldn't have the flag as prominently because in Germany, they don't have Nazi flags displayed. They don't have the swastika flags displayed. And I actually read something once that said that Germany's actually ashamed of their history where America isn't, which, whatever. I don't know. Again, not a political program. What I'm getting at, though, is that they're changing it to like a skull and it just seems like, why? Like, that seems like something so pointless. And then it kind of raises the question of what else are you going to censor? Just because something was a little different 10 years ago, 20 years ago. This is the Definitive Edition, so it should have, personal opinion, it should have what the original games had. Maybe do what they did with Tom and Jerry, because I don't think this is offensive to say. If it is, I apologize ahead of time. But Tom and Jerry has the Mammy character that is the maid for the house. Which is a minstrel show character. And what they did for the Tom and Jerry cartoons is if you stream them, or I think buy them at this point, I could be wrong, but I know it's at least when you stream them, it says, like, there are some racial depictions in this that we do not think has any place in today's society, but this is what we had. And to me, that's better than just getting rid of a segment of something. Now, is it gonna ruin the context of a certain scene? Probably not. It could, in the sense of I don't know who this character is, because again, I've never really played Vice City. But if this guy is like a bigot, then yeah, maybe we'll lose some sort of context there. Other than that, there's a big thing about the radio station that the radio stations may not have the same soundtrack because they don't want to do the licensing or whatever. Again, that's a huge part of Grand Theft Auto. I feel like Rockstar making as much money as Rockstar makes, they should have the original soundtrack, because to like not hear the Funktopus or the K-Rose channel that I can't even think of the DJ's name. Like, I don't even like country music, but San Andreas had the best commercials on K-Rose. Like, there's a commercial, and I don't remember if it's in San Andreas or Vice City, but I remember it's like, this will be censored. But it's like, Knife After Dark, rated R for... And that killed me as a kid. Is that going to be taken out of the game? And I get it. These are words that we shouldn't be using. They're words that are outdated, that I don't even think kids are using. Like, I don't hear, not that I'm around children, but like, I never heard my brother, who's 11 years younger than me, use these words. So I don't think people are using them. I think people know that they're wrong, but it's of that time period. I don't know. That's just kind of where I am. Other than that, I'm very excited to go back to Grove Street. Like, really excited to go back to Grove Street. I'm excited to play GTA 3 all the way through. I'm excited to play Vice City all the way through. It looks good. I'm excited. I'm happy that it's happening. It's also like, if you have PlayStation Now, Grand Theft Auto 3 is going to be on there, the remake, and then it's going to be... If you have Game Pass, San Andreas is going to be there. How do you beat that? How do you beat that? Other than that, real quick, I really want to talk about this game that right now is just speculation. It's not much. Kyle put it here in the show's notes. But I'm very excited for this if this is real. There is a game coming out. I don't know if I've ever made this explicit. Hip-hop is a lifestyle. Right? There's five elements. There's DJing, there's breakdancing, there's MCing, and there's graffiti. And there's the fifth element, which KRS-One, I'm pretty sure, is the person who said there's the fifth element. The fifth element is knowledge. I like to think that I keep some of these ideals of early hip-hop in my everyday... It's the way punk rock is a lifestyle. It's not just, oh, I listen to the Misfits. It's punk rock is a lifestyle. Hip-hop is a lifestyle. They're making a Wu-Tang game for the Xbox, and like 14-year-old me went nuts when I read that. So far, it's called Project Shaolin. It's going to be an RPG. I have no other information for you other than that. Other than Wu-Tang is for the children. If this game comes out, I will be playing the shit out of it. even if it's bad, I'm gonna play it, because to hear all that old stuff. Some of the new stuff, I assume they're going to make new music for it. The Wu-Tang album that Martin Shkreli purchased for like a couple million dollars and said he would never release it got bought, and now people are planning on releasing it, the group that bought it. I would really love to play. It was a Wu-Tang fighting game for the PS1 back in the day, and it came with a special, hey me, editing me, hey pal, could you put up on screen a picture of the Wu-Tang controller for the PS1? There it is. Thanks, me, who's editing and from the future or the whatever. So I would like to see this. Imagine if they did a Wu-Tang exclusive or a Wu-Tang special edition Xbox or controller. I'd probably buy the controller. I'd honestly probably buy the controller if it came out. That's all I have to say on it. It's going to happen. And I'm excited for it. And it looks fun and good and cool. That's about it. We're about to hit 400 subs on YouTube, and I would love to do it before the end of the year. That wasn't a great segue, and I apologize, but we're about to hit it. I'd like to hit it before the end of the year. There's some things I want to move around and change with the channel now that it's just me and the occasional Papa. Some things I want to move around with the pace. Someone actually told me I have to change something with the Patreon today that has been outdated for well over a year, and I was unaware of it whatsoever. But I will be going, there's some things I want to change, and it would be great, if we could get it to 400 before the end of the year. I have some ideas. I know I feel like I'm saying I always have ideas, but I have some ideas of stuff that I want to do. And I feel like now that I'm by myself, I can kind of attack them more. But if we could please, just if you're an audio listener only, thank you. That is perfectly fine, and I love that. I'm not begging. I'm just asking, hey, if you could go and give us a sub. I'm surprised anybody listens whatsoever to begin with. But all that being said, I think it's time for us to get into... Oh, no, it's not time for us to get into lore. There's one other thing. Real quick, I wanted to just do a spotlight with this. If you've been watching, for I want to say about the last 2 months, I make a joke about this wine bottle here, and I say, it says... A little text will pop up and it'll say not wine. And Kyle has gotten me the greatest gift I think I've ever gotten. Like, genuinely, like, I'm not, no hyperbole. I'm very hard to shop for. There is always an expectation when you give a gift and when you get a gift. And I do not like the expectation of when I am given a gift because I feel like I have to live up to something. I'd much prefer to give somebody something. But Kyle has outdone himself, and I don't think I'll ever get a better gift than this. To commit to the bit fully, Kyle has gotten me, and I'm sorry if you're not an audio listener. What I might do, or I'm sorry, if you're only an audio listener, what I might do is I might have a picture of this just be the thumbnail for the audio version. But Kyle has got me a custom engrained wine bottle, and It has the Atomic Radio Hour logo on it. Like, I designed that logo with Olive, and now it's on a wine bottle. Like, it's engraved. This isn't a sticker, but it says Old Man Vince's Not Wine Tonic, proudly crafted in the wasteland. I almost started crying when I unboxed this. This is by far the greatest gift I've ever... I have to drink out of this. If you give me a gift and you tell me what to do with the gift, I will do it because you have given me the gift. And at first, I didn't know what to do with it. Like, part of me wanted to just leave it on the shelf and be like, I'd never want to touch it because, like, it's a one of one. And it's personal. Like, there is thought and time and effort and love that went into this. Like, and then Kyle's like, no, dude, commit to the bit. Drink out of it. So I just need to find a cork. And I don't want to use this cork. Just because I think this is actually bigger. This is a bigger wine bottle. This spout is bigger than the green wine bottle I drink out of. But just take a gander at that. Kyle, thank you. Seriously, I know you're listening. Thank you so much, dude.
I'm the cleverest when it comes to gifts. So I go thank wow. You.
Yeah, I can't get over it. Like, I cannot get over, like, it's black and gold, one of my favorite combinations of colors. It's calling me old, which I am. Like, it's a tonic. Like, everything of, like, I love this. I love this so much. Thank you so much. Seriously. I will be drinking out of that soon. The not wine jokes, they're still going to happen. It's just, I won't have to do as much editing, so thank you. Other than that, thank you, Kyle. I have to get into the lore. But before I get into the lore, I have to do the Patreon real quick. I have to thank the... I say do the Patreon. I have to thank... Thank you to the Patreon. Because of you guys, I can continue to do stuff like this. I can have Kyle here. Kyle's very expensive. I feel like I have to say this every time he's here. Kyle, like, demands a green room. He wants only orange M&Ms. Only orange M&Ms. You know how many bags of M&Ms I have to buy to get him only orange? Then I got the rest of the rainbow set. Anyway, we can do more fun stuff. I can stream, and I can do all these other fun... Like, if I want to buy equipment, I can. I can buy software. I can buy things that help. All the money that we get from the Patreon goes right back into the show. So it's a constant cycle of support. Thank you. We have to thank some people real quick. Starting from the top, we have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, we have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, it's Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. And lastly, we have to thank Bones Jones. Thank you, Bones Jones. Again, thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your feedback and your adoration. But other than that, it is time for us to get into the lore. Now, this week has been a little harder for me, personally. I've been doing a lot of extra work at work. this weekend is going to be busy for me. Friday, the day I'm going to be editing this. I normally record on Wednesdays, but today I'm recording on a Thursday. Friday, I'm going to be editing and cooking, and it's just going to be a very hectic day. I actually have the day off because I was working the extra hours and whatnot. So it's been a little taxing on my body. And, you know, when that happens, you know, you get tired. Mentally, physically, you get tired. So I asked the Discord a very simple, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. And they guess 9 numbers before they guess the last one. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that I just thought it was like, this will be the easiest. This will be the easiest one because it'll be 1 to 10. And it took the 10 guesses. It just made me laugh. It's like, is Occam's razor the least resistant will happen, or the least detrimental will happen? And it was just like, anyway, it made me laugh. this week's lore comes from a rather new fella inside of the Discord, Young Kyle, because we already had a Papa Kyle. So now we have Young Kyle, and Young Kyle messaged me and asked if I had done one and gave me a couple other suggestions because I wasn't entirely sure. This one I was almost positive I had done before, but what it might be that I'm remembering is very, very early on, I want to say episode 1 or episode 2 of the show when Olive was here, we did an episode, we didn't really know what we were doing. I mean, I once read it takes 100 episodes to know what you're doing. We didn't know what we were doing, and we were just kind of winging it. And we just started talking about the companions. Maybe that's why I remember this kind of, like, in a weird, hazy way. Young Kyle wanted me to talk about best girl from Fallout 4, Piper Wright. So, if you'd like to hear any lore in particular, go ahead and join the Discord. Once a week, I will ask a question, and the first person to get that question right gets to pick lore for the week. Piper Wright is a news reporter living in Diamond City in 2087 and is the owner of Public Occurrences with her sister Nat. I just realized that when I read off of my notepad here, I kind of like look down a little bit because I'm trying to like look at the camera and like look at the notepad at the same time. and I look like an old man looking down his bifocals to read. Good. I'm not SNL. I don't have a guy standing here like that. She grew up outside of the Commonwealth with her father and her little sister, Nat, and her father was part of the local militia. Now, I kind of wish Fallout 4 expanded a little bit about what this local militia was. Knowing who Piper was and what I'm assuming were the morals and the values is the word I'm looking for. The values instilled inside of her and her sister. I would assume that her father was part of a militia that was somewhat like the Minutemen. Is that true? No. But I kind of wish they talked about it a little more because I could see Piper really being the descendant of a Minuteman who kind of took it and ran with it. Who got like, because we'll talk a little bit about like why she kind of is the way she is and how she got into her reporting ways and kind of felt that power and ran with it and kind of was like, this is how I want to feel all the time. After the suspicious death of her father, she found out that Captain Mayburn, the town's leader, the settlement that she's from, he had a deal set up with local raiders that they would hit the town, they'd attack it, and give a portion of the money to Captain Mayburn. Her father knew of this plan, and they say he was killed by someone in the town. It's not like, you know, it's not like said explicitly in the lore, but on the wiki, I get all my lore off of fallout.fandom.com. But I mean, come on, a dead man tells no tales. The local police did not believe her, did not believe Piper when she told them of the plot to attack the town and would not investigate. Her public accusations got the mayor's attention and he took the blame. He totally owned up and admitted to it. So I guess technically it does say that he, anyway, whatever. The settlers outraged, they kicked out Captain Mayburn. He was no longer part of the town. And when the raiders finally came, the town folk were ready and they fled. Sometime later, Nat and Piper saved up enough money to relocate to Diamond City. This is where she pursued her career of an investigative journalist. Her doing this made her rather popular. People liked that she was trying to tell the truth and kind of show people that most people are lying. And that she wanted to bring peace and justice in her own way, her own diplomatic way. Piper's probably my favorite companion from Fallout 4, honestly. I don't know if I talked about this here. I don't think I did. I think I talked about it on a stream. There's a video floating around by Triple Jump. Great people. They make fine stuff. I'm not a huge fan, but what I've seen, I've liked. And they did a companion list of all of the Fallout games. And they had Boone at like 11 or 11 plus 1. No. Boone, for me at least, is a top 5. I won't tell you who they had at number 1, but I didn't agree. I'll just say that. Boone's, I don't know. But my favorite companions are like Boone and Piper. Anyway. The public opinion of her because of this kind of changed when most started to think that she was a little too negative. This in turn got her in a bit of trouble, and she sees her getting into trouble as a point of pride. She has had multiple death threats and an assassination attempt. And even in one instance, she has said, "In my line of work, things tend to get pretty hairy. I've been shot at, poisoned, nearly executed. Heck, until recently, they called the lockup in Diamond City the Piper Suite. Anything for a story, I suppose." And then when the sole survivor can ask, "Someone poison you?" She goes, "Are you kidding me? I barely had the paper going before I got poisoned. First time, I just published an article about this cartel of caravans that have been driving up food prices in the city. Article went over well, even got a boycott of their goods and goods started in town. So I figured I'd pop over to the Dugout Inn for a victory drink. I had already taken a swig by the time I realized something was wrong. Vadim, he wasn't in the bar. The beer tasted off, even more so than usual, and I started feeling real woozy. I didn't know what he slipped me, but I knew I had to get out. I'm looking around for something. And there it is, the still. And I just start chugging moonshine. Honestly, I'm still not totally convinced it was better than just dying from the poison. But it worked. And after a while, I passed out on the floor. Security managed to grab the bartender. He eventually ratted on his bosses. And they all got to share some time in the pen. That's fun. She calls you Blue. And I think that's super cute. There's some notes I want to read real quick. There's something about Piper that I think I just identify with, of this person who's like, how come nobody is listening to me? this shouting from the rooftops, just like enjoys getting in trouble, just enjoys seeing how far they can like push a conversation. I think that's what I like about Piper. I don't know why, she was just like my go-to. I think everybody who plays a Fallout game, especially the modern 3D ones, has a character that I believe in anime they're referred to as a comfort character, who they like, they kind of flock to, they kind of, you know, they see something of themselves inside of the character. I guess that's a little telling of why I like Boone, why I like Fox, why I like Piper. I don't know. If you find Nick Valentine before traveling to Diamond City, the gate will already be open and the mayor will be interacting with Piper inside. That's neat. Paladin Dance has a line of unique dialogue during the introduction with the mayor at the Diamond City Gate, despite his normally being unavailable as a companion until later in the main quest. If the sole survivor states that he believes in freedom of the press, Dance will comment, "I believe the press often manipulates the truth in order to deliver their agenda." If the sole survivor hasn't done Piper's interview yet, then exits Diamond City and enters again later, Piper can be found in Mayor McDonough's office accusing his secretary of sleeping with him. That's really funny. Bringing Piper back to Diamond City may cause Nat to run up to her and relate a story about being given detention at school. Piper may then tell her she's grounded, but to Nat's chagrin, however, another conversation has Piper congratulating Nat on getting detention due to punching a boy who was annoying her, telling her to never change. Ah, I like her. She also has an interaction with the sole survivor about how she believed Nat idolizes her too much, hoping that time apart will prevent Nat from growing up to be like her. Soul Survivor can choose to offer advice on how to deal with the situation. I don't remember that. That's a really interesting plot. Like, hey, I'm a certain way. Like, I understand. There's a bit of, like, I mean, maybe I'm looking too deeply into this because I know I shit on Fallout 4 all the time. But I shit on it because I love it. That's like, hey, there's a bit of self-reflection and self-actualization in that of, like, I'm a certain way that not everybody likes. And that's going to be detrimental to my child. I like that. I like it. If the player character ends the main quest by siding with the Railroad, the Brotherhood, or the Minutemen and talks to Piper afterwards, she will express relief that the Institute is gone and will write an article titled "The Boogeyman Banished." She's also in the Fallout board game. She can, I've never played it, and I don't know how often I'm going to be able to talk about it, so I'm going to talk about it here. Piper can be found randomly when taking a card from the loot deck. When Piper is an active companion, the player character can exhaust her to explore an adjacent tile. When the player character performs the camp action, she will become unexhausted. However, if the player character does not have the vilify trait, she must be discarded. She's in Fallout Shelter. She's one of the only Fallout 4 characters. I'm pretty sure it's just her and Preston Garvey. So here's just some notes and fun facts and whatnot. I was more interactions with the player. Piper briefly joined the Church of the Children of Adam by faking a vision of Adam as a ruse to prevent her own execution. She was able to escape the cult before being discovered as an imposter. I love her. She's my favorite. She's the best. She's got a post-contemporary haircut, a thing that she's willing to die for, and a great jacket. I love her. There's a woman who actually cosplays Piper, and when I first saw it, I was so surprised it wasn't a mod to make the game look better. That's how much this woman looks like Piper. This is one that I love that I know you probably know it. I know it, and I love it. Piper will call the player character Blue, referring to the Soul Survivor's blue jumpsuit. If the Soul Survivor is not wearing the jumpsuit, Piper will simply say, "I know you're not wearing a jumpsuit right now, but the Pip-Boy in the fish out of water look, dead giveaways." Okay. Not a huge fan of that, but it's okay. Piper's interaction with Mayor McDonough seems to be inspired by Bob Woodward and Kyle Bernstein's reporting of the Watergate scandal, which eventually led to the resignation of President Richard Milhouse Nixon. This is further lampshaded by McDonough's "I am not a sin" speech. That's great. If Piper's present when the player character talks to Magnolia, she will clumsily compliment her, saying, "Nice set this evening, ma'am." Of songs, that is. Is it warm in here? If taken to Nate and or Nora's corpse in Vault 111, she will say, "Is that who I think it is? Are you okay?" Piper actually has a death quote. Upon being killed, she will utter "Blue" or "Take care of Nat." Wow, I thought they couldn't die. When asking about her thoughts directly after accepting the quest Blind Betrayal, Piper will react as if the quest has already been completed, thus delivering a massive spoiler. As a journalist, Piper can be found interviewing other NPCs about various subjects such as life in the Commonwealth, their opinions about the Institute, and hope for the future. I love her. I don't like people that their entire personality is, "Oh, I'm sarcastic," but I love her. Oh my god. In the creation kit, the road goggles have the editor ideas close Piper's goggles. She is only ever seen wearing them pushed upon her forehead. In the concept art, it appears Piper would have had shorter hair. She would have also have worn a fedora rather than a reporter cap. One of the other concept designs shows her with what appears to be an aviator's cap and camera equipment on her. I went into this knowing that I love the Gift of Gab. I love her. She's perfect. She's perfect. She's the best companion. I went into this game. As I dropped my phone. I went into Fallout 4 knowing that the armor system was layered. And I said, all right, I'm just going to wear a vault suit. Because I always love the armored vault suit. But I just, you know, you get late game and it's like, oh, I want to wear power armor. And I thought, okay, if I can wear the armored vault suit that I created out of leather armor and put all the mods on it. And then put power armor, if I want to wear power armor, on, then that's what I'm going to do. But I loved Piper so much that I had like a little newsy hat that I would wear because we would go around and we'd match and we'd shoot super mutants and feral ghouls. I like Piper a lot. Thank you, young Kyle, for your recommendation. All right, everybody. Thank you for being here. Happy Halloween. Eat some candy. Celebrate with the homies. Do something. Tuck them in at night. Give them a kiss. Tell them you love them. I hope you're well. I hope you're doing okay. If you like the show, please follow us. There's links in the description below. If you like the intro music, it's by Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster. Silvermansounds.com/free music will get you all of his stuff, but if you put slash Feather Duster, you get the intro song. All of Shane Ivers' music is great. It's fun. It's energetic. It's mood music. It's free. Man does it for free. You can follow us on Twitter. There's links in the description to my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter. Thank you again to our Patreon. There's also a link to our Redbubble if you want to buy a design that I or the previous host have designed together. It's there. If you're watching us on YouTube, share with a friend. I want to hit 400 subs before the end of the year. I hope you're doing well, like I've said. Thank you for being here. I hope to see you next week. Happy Halloween. We are about to hit the last 2 months of the year. As soon as 2021 was here, it will be gone. Be safe. Thank you. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.